What if we had the weekend of 3 days? Do you think people would appreciate Mondays more so?
3 days?
Next week.
No. Three days of sun? Next week.
You're just anticipating.
But I think people would appreciate Mondays more than dreading the Monday if we had as our own Sunday.
Okay.
Right? Do you think so? Mm-hmm. No?
Oh.
I guess
it wasn't really a question, I guess. No, it wasn't.
You and Loverboy.
Loverboy?
Yeah, working for the weekend.
Working for the weekend.
You have a lover boy. Okay. Oh, yes. Listen, this is a morning show.
I know. PG rated. Good morning, Zeke. Thank you, Margo, for that lovely weather observation. I'm in
Hope you
a
have
happier
a lovely
mood now.
Breakfast.
Yes. How are you, Zeke?
Grumpy.
Grumpy?
Oh. Grumpy.
Because it's a Monday, but if it was a long weekend, no, I'd be so happy.
It has nothing to do with it being Monday. I actually quite like Mondays. Mm. I get to see you. I get to come into the station. I get to do stuff.
Just by saying that.
Oh, boy. But no, I'm grumpy because I saw the Miles Davis show.
Oh, no. I didn't think you were going to do that.
Oh, no is right.
I thought you were going to avoid it at all costs.
I should have listened to my better judgment. I should have
better self,
better sense. Yeah, it's. It occurred to me first of all to get this off my chest. You know where the because one of the things really, really, really bugs me about the Miles Davis show is that it is at the Montreal Museum of Fine Arts, the Musée des Beaux-Arts de Montréal. Jazz, Miles Davis, while is really, really cool stuff, and I probably have more Miles Davis music and have seen him more times than any person in their right mind has, and this set has a right to, and this is no sort of bearing on the quality of what he did. But he's not fine art. Not even close.
Now he's a work of art.
No, he's dead. He's dead. Margo, he's dead.
I know, but wow.
I think Margo's taking some happy. Okay. I don't mind having some of that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, but there it's. Have you ever been to the Emil Berliner Museum?
Yes.
And that's like about like recording and radio technology and
history
stuff like that.
Yes.
And you think like, okay, so the museum wants to like be sort of do outreach and go get people who normally don't go to museums and the ideas in the back of my head are that there's somebody with lots and lots and lots of money who is saying, I can't stand paintings, I like music, I will give you my money if you put music in the museum. Because that's the only thing that I can sort of understand is, okay, so they're doing Schumann, they're doing Haydn, they have concerts there, Kent Nagano and Natalie Blondel are best friends, they're doing Miles Davis, they did, the Velvet Underground. So yeah, to me that's the only thing that makes sense. But imagine, if you will, if they did outreach by taking this Miles Davis show, which they didn't even organize. They just bought it lock, stock, and barrel from this Cité de la Musique. See, they don't do fine arts in France. They put Miles Davis where he's supposed to be, in the Cité de la Musique. For those of you who don't understand French, Music City. It's almost like Nashville, but in Paris. But I digress there. But yeah, imagine if they had gone and rented the Emil Berliner Museum and then extra space around there, because that is a wonderful, wonderful building down in St. Henry. And then put the Miles Davis show there, where it was the sort of thing that Emil Berliner is the guy who invented a bunch of recording technology. Miles Davis, his life sort of, is exactly the same as that of the LP, which is wild. It's one of the things, if you ever want to do like your PhD thesis on Miles Davis, you sort of make it so that he was the one who sort of heavily, heavily influenced the LP just because of the luck of when he was born. And you probably have a fairly rock solid bulletproof thesis there, because he died in 1991, and I think they came out with CDs in 1989, I think was the first one, and he started recording in 1945, and the first LP came out in 1948, and so, ooh, spooky stuff, Miles Davis, LPs, Miles Davis, but MD, LP, I don't know, maybe we can do some, Margo, you know any numerology that changes MDs into LPs?
It's a number thing with numerology. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Do they have pictures?
No, not really. That's another bad thing. It's the sort of thing where it's a history... it's a history sort of exhibition. So it goes through his life, but it glosses over entirely his misogyny and his drug use. And his drug use was one of the major, major themes in his life. And some of the best music he did was while he was high on drugs. And so while you don't want to condone doing the drugs, without the drugs, you don't get the amazing music. But then the other thing that I really don't like about the... how they gloss over the drug use is that there was this baroness, this woman who had more money than brains back in the 60s and stuff like that in the 50s, and she hung out in New York and wanted to really, really, really wanted to be a hipster and stuff like that. So since she had more money than she knew what to do with, she was probably out gallivanting every night, and she would hang out with all these jazz musicians, and she was in this habit of, since she was, I don't know, probably a fetching young thing back in those days, she would go up to these jazz musicians and say, if you had three wishes, what would you do? And she would write them down, and she had this journal, and it was a very nice thing, and it was sort of like probably all sorts of coy, and I have no idea how often she got laid because of asking the musicians what three wishes and stuff like that. But can you imagine these musicians who really don't have all that much money who are then being come on to by this woman who has more money than you can shake a stick at, and saying, so if you had three wishes, what would you wish for? Anyhow, I digress, because it's a sort of thing where she died and her granddaughter then decided that they should take that journal, which is probably a really, really cool book because it is just a nice historical artifact, and that they should publish it. And so they came out with a French version probably about, I think, 3 or 4 years ago, and they came out with an English version more recently. And there's this one big thing where Miles Davis, I think, and it was 1958 or so, don't quote me exactly on the date, where he got busted and busted real hard on the drugs. And so they threw his ass into jail, and they sort of threw away the key and everything like that and said, you... Mr. Davis, don't be taking drugs no more. Anyhow, right under that picture where they sort of try and document and say, yes, drugs were an influential part of Miles Davis's life, except for the fact that it's a tiny, tiny corner of the entire exhibit, and if you blink, you miss it. But it's the sort of thing where right next to it, they have the Three Wishes book. And it's like, you've heard of the Banksy film Exit Through the Gift Shop?
Yes.
Okay. And it's the sort of thing where that is now the habit you go in all museums. Doesn't matter where the museum is, whether it's in Timbuktu, Montreal, or the Emil Berliner Museum. But you always exit through the gift shop. The reason being is once you've seen the exhibition, then at which point you can go and buy stuff. Yes, exactly. And they're now actually bringing the gift shop into the exhibition because the book is chained down so you can see the reference to Miles Davis's drug use and the Three Wishes book. And it really, really annoys me. And then talking about the gift shop, it's the sort of thing you'd figure that with Miles Davis, it's like he made music, and while they don't have LPs anymore, they still do make LPs and stuff like that, but he's known for his music and so on. And currently, like, the fetish object that people have for music is still the CD. You realize that there are a small thing about, I'm moving my hands here, probably about a cubic, smaller than a cubic foot. 8 cubic inches, 8 by 8 by 8, because, yeah, the CDs are 5.5 inches, maybe 6 inches wide. That's it for the amount of music they have in the gift shop. There are maybe 20 CDs total. Bam, that's it. That's all she wrote.
They want to do a limited edition exclusive
No. Somebody just was not. I don't know. Maybe that's it. Probably UPS screwed up on the shipment.
Or either they didn't want to become a music store.
But it's the sort of thing where, yeah, then we get back to the other things. What time is it? We have hour and 15 minutes left on the show?
Well, okay. The thing is, to tackle such a subject such as Miles Davis is quite...
The subject is fine.
No, I say, you can't summarize an exhibit on Miles Davis in only 5 minutes.
Yeah, you can. Don't go. Avoid. Stay away.
There's pictures on the CD.
Yep, there are pictures on the CD. But it is the sort of thing where... Yeah, I'll get the two quick things out, and then we can go on to the actual nice stuff. There is good stuff at the museum. There is hope. At the end of the tunnel, there is light. But, yeah, the one thing that I don't like is current museum style. You know how, like, there's fashion style where it's like, are the skirts below the knee, above the knee? Is it with bell bottoms versus peg legs and stuff like that? In museum design, there is style as well. And currently, the style is something that is absolutely horrible and atrocious and bad. It's called, let's make the room dark and put a spotlight on the object to make it look that much more impressive. And I just can't stand it, and I want to go and whoop somebody upside the face because it just drives me batty having to figure out, okay, so why can't I see the rest of it? Why can't I get some perspective? That sort of spotlight on it just completely blows it entirely out of context and drives me up the wall. And then the other thing that really annoys me as well, no, not the other thing. One of the other things that really, really annoys me as well is that there is a whole sort of, I don't know, what do you, after you do your PhD thesis, what's the next step?
The postdoctorate?
Yeah, the after that. You get another one or you become a teacher or something like that? Anyhow, the guy.
It depends the program you're
The guys who have the PhDs on the PhDs on the PhDs, the ones who really, 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 really know their miles.
They
Have come up with this concept, which seems to be fairly bulletproof, that the reason Miles Davis's sound was like it sounded was due to a trumpet teacher he had in St. Louis in the 1930s, and also the mouthpiece that trumpet teacher insisted that everybody use. And there's actually this sort of like whole St. Louis sound of trumpet players that actually I wish I could knew enough so as to say, no, you don't know what the heck you're talking about. But actually, I know an awful lot, and they do know what they're talking about. And so they're one of the beginning parts of the exhibition. They then show you the mouthpieces that Miles Davis used so as to come up with this St. Louis sound. Do you realize that they're all upside down so that you can't see what they look like? It's sort of like, okay, so let me show you this painting, but we're just going to hang it backwards.
They just want to tease you.
No, I don't think they wanted it. Had it been conscious, that would have been fine. But this wasn't even conscious. This is sort of like, nah, whatever, who cares?
I have the feeling that every museum in the city should just commission you to present things properly.
No.
They should just hire you. No. Just to say, okay, for consultation purposes.
Do you think I would be bought by the mainstream?
No, I don't mean that. I mean, well, in a sense, to do justice towards the way that our museums present things, mm-hmm. you know, in the Montreal way, mm-hmm. perhaps they need someone that can tell them how it's supposed to be done. Mm-hmm.
However, you want to see the light at the end of the tunnel?
Well. Sure.
Okay, you've heard also that, which one, the Cirque du Soleil, Guy, whatever his name is, Guy...
Who went to the moon?
Yeah, he went to the moon. He's got more money than he can shake a stick at as well. In order to do, I don't know, I have no idea why people do this, but he then decided that he was going to spend way too much money getting some French company to make some really, really, really gaudy looking jewelry. And it's sort of now, there's this whole exhibition on the jewelry called Inspira. And there you should really cue that sort of bum 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 bum, sort of the fake tribal music that the Cirque du Soleil uses in here, sort of like, what is it, Lost or something like that, one of those theme show, whatever. Anyhow, I really, really don't like the diamond encrusted and ruby encrusted sort of things that women are supposed to drape around their necks, because it's the sort of thing where, okay, I'm a guy, and at which point I already recognize it is difficult enough to keep my eyes on the face and not sort of drop down to the cleavage. But then once you stick a whole bunch of diamonds in your cleavage, it just becomes impossible. And so I'm really against that whole idea to begin with. But the thing that is wonderful...
Yes.
And absolutely amazing. And then this whole Inspira show, which is one small room, but I can spend probably a couple hours in there, is that this jewelry maker, fabricator, whatever it is in France who did it and who had all the rubies, diamonds, and sort of, all fancy stones hanging out, they have drawings of the necklaces. And while the necklaces are whatever... It's a sort of thing, if to my mind, they're not on somebody's cleavage, at which point I really don't want to need to or care to look at them. But the drawings of the necklaces are spectacular. Mm. They are absolutely wonderful, amazing, worth the price of admission, and it's free to go see them.
And where can you go see?
All day. This is at the Musée des Beaux-Arts.
Really? Yes. So it's still part of where the Miles Davis is.
No. It's a separate exhibition. Separate exhibition, okay. Entirely. This is one designed so as to sort of get Guy, La Liberté is his last name, get him some, what's the opposite? Not street cred. He needs to get, establishment cred. Yeah, sort of thing where people would get those people with the suits and the ties to realize, yeah, he knows what he's an okay guy. He's an okay guy. He's one of us.
It's one of those reaffirmations.
Exactly.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Well, I have to say, I've been very enlightened today by you, Zeke.
I'm still grumpy.
You're still grumpy? Well, I hope that you'll be able to get over that grumpiness.
Thank you for sharing your input. There's some sun out there.
There is. Uh-huh. The sun's been out since yesterday.
It's Monday, so the museum is closed, so I can't go see the Miles Davis exhibition today. Therefore, there's hope.
When is it running until the end of
August? End of August.
End of August.
End of August, yes. And you're going to hear lots about it because they cooked up with a jazz festival.
Of course. Which is coming up too as well.
Yeah.
The festival's coming up.
Uh-huh. Lionel Richie playing the jazz festival.
Woohoo. Swoony Per El Pablo is also coming up. And we like that festival.
Yeah, but I bet you I could find fault with the Swoony Per El Pablo people as well. They don't only do the wonky jazz stuff.
They don't only do the wonky jazz stuff. Uh-huh. I wasn't associating so much to jazz, but more in the vein of festivals.
That's what we got to get onto the PQ this weekend. Went and had a policy meeting and stuff like that, and they came out and decided we got to do this so that we can do this so that we can get elected. They should put into their platform outlaw festivals.
No,
I would vote for them in a yes.
I disagree. Anyway. This conversation's over. No, I'm kidding.
I will see you next week. Back to back, six paces.
Thank you, Zeke.
My pleasure. Thank you.